the title of my message is Love One Another. Love one another. And let me just read it to you. John 13, verse 34 and 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Let me just pray. Father, I pray right now that you'd help us to hear your word. And Lord, just not just to hear it, but to see ourselves, Father. Lord, you talk about going to your word and looking in the mirror and having a look to see what we need to change. Father, as we talk this morning and share, Lord, I pray you'd speak to each person here. Speak to their heart, speak to their life. Lord, we want to be people that aren't just hearers of your word. We want to be doers. We want to change. We want to become more like you. Our cry is that we would be more like Jesus. And Father, I pray as a church, we would be more like you. And Lord, that the result would be that people would go, I know they're a disciple of Jesus because they live like you do. So help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So love is one of the overreaching themes throughout the Bible, through the scriptures. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandment was, well, when he was asked what is the greatest commandment, he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all the law of the prophets sit. All of them are based on love. I don't think we've always outworked the commandments in a way of love, but that is what they were based on. They are based on love. In John 1:4-8, it says, God is love. God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we all know the love chapter, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know, recently I was doing a wedding, and I was doing it with the Catholic priest. His name is Father Richard. He's over at the mountain. So we were sharing doing this wedding, which was pretty exciting. And he got to do the message. And so he did the message, and he started talking about the love in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind. And he said, you know, the word for the love here is the Greek word agape. In the Greek language, they have five words for love. We just have one, which we seem to mess up in all sorts of contexts and bits and pieces. But agape love is the love of God. It's divine love. And basically, he says, you can't love, like in 1 Corinthians 13, unless you have the divine within you to help you. And I go, wow, that's a good revelation. That's true. Love. Jesus sort of said to us, look, you're no longer having to follow the law. It's far simpler. All you have to do is to live your life out of a response of love. You know, there was a major change that Jesus did. Instead of being a person that you do it because you have to, instead we live our lives because we love God. It's a whole different response. It's a whole different way of living. And, this love has got to testify to the world that you're a Christian. You know, I think unfortunately at times Christians' love is often very shallow and quite selfish. Unfortunately, the church has not done well, I think, at loving people. I don't know about you. I think we can do better. Do you think you could do better at loving? You know, it should be that in church we love people so much that it is very hard for people to want to move on anywhere. You know, because I think about it, you know, at times we move churches and I think, you know, okay, maybe you've fallen out with something the pastor's done, but what about the people that you've done life with? Isn't your love got so great for those people that forget whatever the issue is, you're going to stick with them? And shouldn't our love for people mean that people go, man, I love being in this place because people love? And I know about you, when I look at it, I go, man, we've got to lift the amount we love each other. Do you think so? It should be such a thing, you know, that when people come and meet us, they feel the love that we have for them. Too often we're sidetracked into all these other issues. You know, even, we do a friendship break. And some people go, oh, you know, the friendship break. I don't want to do the friendship break. And I think, man, if you love people, then you'd love just to talk to people. Get that opportunity to meet people. You know, if we You know, and you'll see as I go through the scriptures, you know, the more you love God, the more you love people. If you find it hard to love people, then you're going to find it hard to love God. There's this connection of love. See, what happens when hate gets into you, it just consumes your body. When you start not loving, see, our bodies and our physical being were made for love to flow out of them. We're made to have God's love in us, and it's made to flow. We're more healthier as a person when we love. But when we start hating or getting upset, no, not forgiving, or any of these things in our lives, it actually deteriorates us. It actually doesn't help us. We're not made to have a life that's full of hate. It just doesn't do us any good. In fact, it doesn't make us happy. It makes us more sad. It makes us more happy. More unhappy. It makes us harder to do life. The more of God you've got in you, the more of love flowing on you, the healthier you are, the more joy you have, more peace. Because when it comes to the whole area of love really is about loving God and loving people. It's all to do with relationships. But all of our joy and our life comes out of those things. Yeah, we get joy out of things that we do, but really most of the ones that are the most satisfying are related to people and God. You know, when I first left uni, I started working for Deloitte as an auditor, and there was a whole lot of us. You know, there was probably about 25 of us that were all sort of first, second, or third year auditors, and we're all, you know, we're a team. We'd all go out on jobs all over the country, and it was great fun. But one of the things that really challenged me was that I found the people I was working with at times seemed to have more love for each other than I'd experienced in the church. And I was quite challenged in my life going, man, surely there should be more love in the church than there is anywhere else in the world. And I got challenged, and I had to step up in my whole concern for people and trying to do, love these people, because in that realm, man, these people really loved each other. They cared for each other. They looked out for each other. Many of you know I'm in a BNI group that meets every Wednesday, and I'm challenged by how much they love each other. You know, someone's sick, they all buy they're going to the hospital, they all buy them a present. So these people have 30 or 40 presents to open for each day after they've recovered from being in hospital. You know, the church doesn't have the monopoly on love. In fact, I think we've got a real challenge. Do we really love people? Where are you on the bar? You know, how much love do you have for the people around you? Christ commands us to love one another. You know, love does have a whole lot of weird meanings, because we go, well, you know, I love chocolate. And we gave out chocolate to people that served last week. And, you know, some of us had too much of it. In the end, you don't love chocolate. We go, we love movies. We go, we love rugby. We go, we love summer. You know, some of us use the word love to justify actions that really aren't. So what is love? And why would Jesus leave such a vague command as love one another? He put it as a command, love one another. The question, the power comes with the command love one another when you get the full context of it, which is love one another as I have loved you. Now that's a different level. So it's not just a matter of loving one another, it's going, I'm going to love one another the same way as Christ has loved me. And I don't know about you, I go, whoa, that's huge. That's huge. See, John's writing this thing about love one another, or talking about this in the context of the Last Supper. So it's in John 13. John spent 3 years with Jesus. And this experience that he had at the Last Supper was probably one of the most powerful. He's got four chapters out of his writing about Jesus that's all about what happened on this night. He's sitting there, he's the one, John, who leans over to Jesus and says, "Who's going to betray you?" And many think that only John got to know that it was Judas at that point. And here's Jesus talking about love, and it must have been going through John's head going, well, he's journeyed with Judas for 3 years and loved him, knowing what he was going to do. I don't know about you, if I knew someone was going to stab me in the back, that's it, they're out of my life. I'm not going to hang around with them. I'm not going to take them on the road with me. And so to John, this was a huge statement about how much we need to love. He's using it as an illustration. You need to love one another just the way I've loved you. It was an impactful encounter. In fact, John then goes on also in 1 John. If you go read 1 John, I think it's about 5 chapters in there. They're all about love. And they all come back to this one meeting at the Passover. See, as Judas left the room, this is when Jesus then goes, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another. You see, he also said, love one another so that people will know you're my disciples. Again, up until that time, people knew that all the disciples were disciples of Jesus because Jesus was there and they were following him. You know? So they saw Jesus and, oh, you're with Jesus. You must be a disciple of Jesus. The disciple was known because they were following around their rabbi. Oh, yeah, so you're a disciple of Jesus because you're following Jesus. And then he goes, hey, from now on, I'm not going to be around. How are people going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus? It's easy. It's about your love for one another. It's about our love for each other. That's what's the evidence that you're a disciple of Jesus. How much do you love the person sitting next to you? Hopefully, if you're married to them, you're going, yeah, no, I love them lots. Well, what about the person on the other side? What about the person behind you? You go, well, I don't even know them. How much do we love each other? Our actions of love for one another should be so obvious to people that they know we're his disciples. The actions that we outwork, the way we live. You know, some of the truths in the Bible are very basic and well known. A lot of them are basic and known. If I said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave it to some people, go, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that truth. And love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, I know that. And judge not, otherwise you'll be judged. Yeah, I've read that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah. But the power of some of these verses is their simplicity and the truth of them. And the power of this, that I need to love one another as Christ loved the church is and love does, is just so powerful, but it's so simple. You know, the important truths that we have, you have to continually pursue them. You can't just go, well, I know them. If I came to you and I said to you, you know, I really think I've mastered humility. I really think this year I'm not going to work on humility because I feel that I'm very, very humble already. And that I no longer need to work on being a humble person. And you'd all agree, wouldn't you? No, you'd go, Alan, if you understand what humility is, you're forever working on it. It'd be something that you're constantly working on. Well, that's the same with love. It's a simple truth, but it's a challenge that I'm going to love people. I'm going to love people the same way that Jesus loved. That's a sacrificial love. That's a high level love. And our minds will go, yeah, well, that's easy when it comes to the people I like, but what about the people I don't like? How am I going to love them? Hey, you've got to work on it. You know, Kobe Bryant, basketball player, he died in, I think, January 2020. One of the greats, one of the things they said about him was that he was relentless at practicing. And even as a young guy, he got a key to the gym so that he could do 500 baskets before school. That's commitment. How much do you practice loving people? How often do you think about, man, I need to step up in my love for people? Do you think about it? Oh man, I'm so thankful for God's love for me in order to help me to love the people around you. The relentless pursuit of what should be obvious requires constant practice. So here's the context of the challenge. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He's predicted his betrayer. He's predicted that Peter's going to deny him. He's talked about how to get to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me, through Jesus. He's promised the Holy Spirit, said the Holy Spirit's going to come. We're going to get the Holy Spirit. You'll need the Holy Spirit. And then in John 15, he talks about the true vine. And we are the branches. And abiding in Jesus is the key to fruitfulness. It's the key to being fruitful. And then in John 15, 9, after talking about that, he says this in verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved you. This is Jesus talking. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. You know, Christians spend a lot of time talking about their relationship with God and building their relationship with God, which is important. About abiding in Jesus and being connected and maintaining that relationship. But the outcome of that relationship has got to be an action of loving people. The fruit that he's talking about, bear fruit. You know, we think, oh, it's the fruit of the Spirit. No, the fruit here that he's talking about is the fruit of loving one another. Now, through that comes all that those fruits of the Spirit. And again, the fruits of the Spirit can only be seen in relationships. It's only through relationships that you can see a lot of the fruits of that Spirit. So here's our challenge, is that the fruit in our lives and remaining with God, the result should be that I should love people more today than I've ever loved people in my life. Loving one another is the fruit of abiding in Jesus. And I don't know about you, that made me challenged to go, well, how much am I abiding in God? How much is that fruit of love showing in my relationships? Love like Jesus. That's the challenge. A few years ago, a guy put out the book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. And I thought, yeah, that's a big challenge. This is a bigger challenge. Can you love like Jesus? Can you love people when things go wrong? When things don't work out the way you want them to work out? We need to love. People will know that we are a disciple of Jesus by the way we love each other. You know, the gospel is deeply transformational. Jesus' love rescued you and me. He entered our mess of our lives and our world in order to provide a way for our sins to be forgiven and to restore our relationship with the Father. And I don't know about you, I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful that my sins are forgiven. I'm grateful that I have a relationship with God. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus purchases our forgiveness by the sacrifice of his life. Those who put their faith in Jesus are deeply loved and eternally forgiven. They receive extravagant grace from God. And I go, yes, we've received extravagant grace from God. The outworking of that is that then I have extravagant grace to the people around me. Do you have grace for the people around you? Have you got grace for their behaviors or what they do, what they say about you? Those who have tasted the love of God share the love with others. They love like Jesus. I was challenged, Ruth a couple of weeks ago talked about the prodigal son. And he talked about the love of the father for his son. And I don't know about you, I got challenged because he also talked about the older brother. The older brother who really possibly didn't love his father except for what he could get for his father or out of his father, the inheritance. And I thought, you know, if I loved my Father, Father God, the same, then you would have loved what he loved. The picture being that the prodigal son's, the brother, the older brother, should have been standing by the father waiting for his son to come home or his brother to come home. He should have had that same love. If he loved the father, he'd love what the father loves. If we love God, we love what God loves. The outworking of that should be, man, in fact, possibly if he loved the father and he loved the son, he would have gone and looked for the brother. He wouldn't have stayed at home. He'd have gone find it. When's the last time you went out to find someone just because you love them? Just because you miss them? Just because you hadn't seen them? When's the last time you sent them a text? Hey, I'm missing you. I hope you're okay. That's a sign of love. It's an action of love. So John picks up. So he's talked about John in John 13, 14, 15, and 16 about love. And then he writes his little book, 1 John. He's got 1 John 1, 1 John 2 John and 3 John. But 1 John, he talks about this. In 1 John 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we're loved by God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us." Like, that's huge. A lot of people are not going to know about God. The only way they're going to know about God's love is by how much you love. Our love for the people around us should be the same as what God's love is for us. And people should see it. I spoke this message last week. I don't think I've sort of redone it again and again, but I'm just so challenged by the fact that, man, I think as a church we've missed a lot of things because we just haven't loved people enough. We get stuck on all sorts of stupid issues. We get stuck on things that don't really matter. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. If you love someone, then you're not just going to go and point out your sins. You're going to love the person despite the sin. You know, as a parent, you love your kid despite what they do. You don't love them because of what they do. You love them because you love them. Do we love the people around us to the same extent that we love our kids? Do you love other people's kids as much as you love your kids? No. Other kids are naughty. You know? But I'm just trying to get you to see. I don't know about you. I just go away going, God, please help me to love people more. I've got to increase in my love for people. The church has got to be known for the love. That's the light of the world, is the love that flows out. See, people love to love when there's benefits for them. There are spouses who love each other as long as it's reciprocal. Some people practice hospitality as long as they are treated well themselves or that they are invited back. You may know friends that who do things for each other, but they expect something in return. But we've been loved by Christ in a way that we can never repay it. His love for us, we can never repay. Do you love people so much that they could never repay it? John 3:16 says, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters." If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. The challenge is taking our love, our head knowledge of love, and putting it into action. Do you know you'll feel better as a person when you love? I can remember reading one that one of our greatest needs is not to be loved, but to love. It's one of our greatest needs. We need to love. It's part of what helps us live and sustains us. Loving God and loving people, it flows. And when we stop it, it doesn't do us good. It's not good for our health. We struggle with loving people and we think it's because of our personality or because we're stressed or because some people are hard to live. But we are reminded by Jesus that love is a sacrifice. It's a decision. Help us to love. Last verse, 1 John 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm writing a new commandment for you, rather. It's an old one you have had from the very beginning. The old commandment to love one another is the same message you've heard before, yet it's also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. You know the result of this? You just try and think the result of all of us going out in the community and loving people. And just loving every person we meet. All our words are full of love, encouragement and life. Imagine the change that would do. And that's the light. It's the shining of a light. Let your light shine. What do we mean? Let your love shine. Your love for people. Love for the people around you. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Let me just take this another level and go, you know, when a word goes hate, we all go, oh, yeah, no, I don't like the person, but I don't hate them. I don't think that's right. You gotta also like them. You go, oh no, but you can love someone and not like them. Is there anybody in the church you don't like? I'm putting my head down just in case. just in case someone felt, oh, you looked at me when you said that. Oh, we need to like each other. We need to love each other. How many people in the church do you know? Do you just know a small group? So we should know all people, all ages. Shouldn't be just people in our age and stage. Do you know all your friends' kids' names? I just go, this is a sign that we love people. When's the last time you had someone over for dinner? Went out for dinner with them or did something? When's the last time you met someone new? I just feel if we want to see the fruit of this love, then we've got to just step up. Verse 9, if anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. God, please help us love people like you do. Help us to love with forgiveness, with self-sacrifice, without selfishness, with left judgment and conditions. Let us love people. Help us. Let me pray for you. Musicians can come. Father, I pray right now you'd help us. Lord, we've looked into the mirror and we see you and we see how much you love, and then we see ourselves and we go, God, we need help. Yeah. Lord, we need more of your love. I just feel some of you need to forgive someone. I haven't talked on forgiveness, but you're struggling with a person and that is consuming you. In fact, hate for what that person's done to you is consuming you. You need to give it to God and say, God, help me to love that person. Help me to love. Maybe God's putting someone on your heart right now. Holy Spirit, help us to love. Help us to love you more. Help us to love each other more.